Thanks, Leanne, for being flexible with my change there. Connie, we are delighted to be able to hear more about what God has been doing in and through your life. And we've been partners in a little ways through the missions team, and I know you're going to share more about how that all works. But Rocky Mountain Ministries, we read about that in the Bell Tower, but we saw about 3-4 pictures, but it was so small in terms of what really is going on. So we're eager to hear what God has been doing in and through you and that ministry. So thanks. Thanks for sharing with us tonight.
Yeah, thanks for having me. Leanne, you know, it just really showed how well you were paying attention to the pastor. Like, you weren't even a pianist, right? You were just there. We had to tell you. That's your other job. So this is the first time I've ever worn this, and I got to tell you, I think this whole thing is designed by men. Like, what do you do with this? You can put it behind you. It looks like you have a tail. Or, like, you can put it right here, and it looks like I have really bad appendicitis. I could put it in the middle, and then it would look like I'm about ready to give birth. Seriously, all you women over childbearing age, can you imagine being Ruth? Of course, unlike Ruth, I was never praying for that, ever, after childbearing age. So anyway, I'll do my best here. This is not exactly perfected, so you're my first group to do this with, but I'm excited to tell you about Rocky Mountain Ministries and the reason why I got involved. I had a rough summer. I would say top 5 worst chapters in my life about a year and a half ago. And, you know, it had to do with my career. And I really started thinking, why am I in medicine? What happened here? Not really anticipating all the changes that are happening across the country with organizational medicine. And I really was starting to lose that. The only time I felt good was when I was in the room with the patient doing my job. But otherwise, I just felt like, you know, I'm getting lost in all the electronic health records and administration and so forth. So anyway, as I was coming to church one day with my husband, Chris, we were talking and I had this light bulb epiphany, I guess, go off. And I said, wait a minute. Judy Douglas has told me all about this amazing ministry going to Mexico, and she's talked about it so much because it seemed that it was so fine-tuned, and she had a wonderful experience, and I thought, maybe that's what I need. So before we even turned into the no-phone zone, we called Gabor Binda, who works with Judy, and I said, hey, Gabor, you know that trip that you take every year? Do you think you have room for a doctor? And of course, next thing I know, I was on the plane. So he did. He had room. That's something I want to tell you, too, that as I'm going through this, think about your role in something like this, because we're always needing volunteers. Right now, we're looking for a second physical therapist, a dietitian, etc. I'm thinking about learning Yaqui Indian instead of Spanish. So there's so much need out there. But anyway, so I did that a year ago and didn't really say much about it at the time, but boy, did I come back renewed. And all of a sudden I knew, okay, Lord, you have my attention. This is why I'm in medicine. So, you know, I want you folks to think about doing something like this for yourself. The first couple slides are, I'm going to talk, but believe me, I'm not going to read the whole thing. So, but I just want to make sure I get my facts straight. So as a volunteer, I was able to use medical skills, share hope in Jesus with Mexicans in rural towns and in Yaqui villages. By the way, some of these people don't even speak Spanish. They just speak Yaqui. Lots of pantomiming going on. And many of them had never had medical care come to their village and were very suspicious. And a matter of fact, what I hear, maybe you could attest to this, Judy, is that they would even throw rocks at our van, just really angry that we were invading their area. And now it's so different. But over the last 18 years, they've come to trust this ministry. I had the unique opportunity to be a part of a very well-oiled machine that has set up an amazing outreach in areas around the world. Okay, there we go. So I want to just tell you a little bit of history. This is a Yaqui gentleman who, by the way, this is really rare. He's smiling. That's really, really rare. very stoic individuals. I think there's a certain amount of pride in not really wanting to be needy of us, and yet over time, you know, they accept us. History of Rocky Mountain Ministries, quickly, it's kind of an interesting story. So a guy named Kurt Shire owned some property on the Gallatin River, and he got to know his neighbor, who was a hermit, had no heirs. And eventually the guy died, and lo and behold, in his will, he had given all this land on the Gallatin River to Kurt. So that was pretty interesting. Kurt was attending, I think, E-Free at the time. And so he went to his estate attorney, who's a guy named Mark Bryan, and, you know, what do I do with all this money? And Mark Bryan was a patient of Gabor Benda, so the three of them got together, and they decided they wanted to do something really, really great with this money. So that is what started the ministry. It started in Honduras. They went there for a couple years, quickly transitioned to a place called San Carlos, Mexico, where it is today. And so there we started out just going to motels, met a person named Brenda, cutting this really short. Brenda married a guy named Art from Churchill, and Art was a contractor, and so they built this amazing missionary, almost like a hacienda, just a beautiful missionary place to be. And so this mission just sort of grew, and every year you go there, there's another courtyard and another rooftop to watch the sunset and to pray, and so it's a really cool place. Let's see. So what happened was, over time, we ran out of money, and so that's where this church has been so helpful this year. But the organizers seriously considered last year ending the ministry, and they realized that God didn't want that to happen because all the infrastructure was in place. Hundreds of volunteers, not only from Churchill and from the Gallatin Valley, but also from Mexico. Tents, local contacts, medical supplies. So basically it took $30,000 to supply 25 to 30 doctors, nurses, pharmacists, paramedics, physical therapists, and others from the Gallatin Valley to go into this field. And the supplies, you know, you may be wondering what that means, but it means things like lab tests, glucometers. You know, we found somebody who had a blood sugar of 658. She needed insulin. H. pylori, which you may know can cause a gastritis that can be cured with antibiotics. Pregnancy tests, medications, glasses, toothbrushes, tents, tables, chairs, and then transporting all this in a ginormous trailer over the border from the Gallatin Valley. And that in itself is kind of scary because, you know, one time we got stuck for 3 hours, there was a drug bust next door, and they've had things taken, medicines, food, wheelchairs, you name it. So everybody prays a lot when they get there. But I just want to say thank you, and that's what this is all about, is thank you to Manhattan Christian Reformed Church for helping us to continue this ministry. And by the way, every single one of us pay our own way. It's about $1,100 for your room and board in Mexico, the transport down there, and then we buy our own plane tickets. So all of your money just goes right to the supplies and the effort. Here's where we are. So we fly down to Tucson, and then we take this road to Sonora. Many of you may remember a couple years ago there was a real bad situation in northern Sonora. You can see the border there. That's not where we were. There are drug cartels everywhere. They tell us that they know all about us and, in fact, protect us. We don't threaten them, and we serve the community. But that's the trip. It's about 6 hours, give or take, at the border. And once we get there, we're pretty happy about that. So when we get there, we start getting everything prepared. We get in a little rickety, well, it's not that rickety, but it is a school bus. And it's on a very rickety road. And so it's a lot of bump, bump, bump for about an hour. So we get to, I need some water, by the way. Do we have any? Oh, great. I know where to get you. So, anyway, then we start going, and this is on our way, so it's a Yaqui village that we pass, It's another one. You know, they're still on horseback. Pretty amazing stuff. Here's a church that we passed. Boy, do they have a lot of tombstones and crosses there. This is taken out the school bus window, looking at people that are sort of lining up. Now, this was taken after the tents were raised, but this line was there before. So these people may walk, you know, you've heard these stories before, but they may walk a couple of hours, they may get a ride, they may take their bicycle, but they haven't eaten, they haven't had anything to drink. I mean, no wonder that woman's blood sugar was so high. But they're waiting for us, and because of all the work that went before me, such as what Judy was involved with, they, you know, we've built their trust. These are some people getting ready to go in. This is John Patterson. He was my mentor, and between he and Judy, it's why I'm here today. But he's setting up his tent. He and I were the only doctors this trip. And then this is kind of what it looks like from the air. There's the school bus. There's us getting ready. By the way, before we start serving, we all gather around in sort of the central courtyard, hold hands, and say prayers in both Spanish and English. My challenge next year is I'm going to learn how to say one in Yaqui if it kills me. But anyway, that's pretty cool. And then the people come in and they start waiting. Like, we have chairs, areas where they wait for their blood pressure and vitals, then the nurses, then the doctors, and then the pharmacy, and then the eyeglasses and the toothbrushes, and then the last place where we are, as you'll see, is the station for evangelism, which is really the whole point. So here's the pharmacy setup. I mean, can you imagine, like, that whole thing was hauled down. See all that medication? You're really hoping that the border doesn't want to check that out. And there's the pharmacy. So you may recognize the guy second from the right. That's Brett from Rose Hours. He's our pharmacist and a friend of his. The guy on the far left is Ricardo. He's our translator. And there's getting started. There's the nurse in there. You know, with only two doctors, what we did was we really empowered the nurse. They got about a 1 hour lesson in 4 years of medical school. And they pulled it off. So they're doing stuff that, and saving the hard stuff for us, I guess. It's all hard, but anyway, so more tents. Here's a little guy coming in. You know, this is kind of an ironic picture, right? You know, they're fenced out, but they got in. This is an interesting story. So this happened last year, actually. We went to a town where the chief of police had been murdered and shot that morning by the cartel. The guy in the middle with the little blue on his cap, that's Juan Carlos. He is our number one translator, and he used to be in drugs. I don't think he's with the cartel, or he probably wouldn't live to talk about it, but he can really relate. And it's so cool because these men, they really didn't have a relationship with Jesus, but yet they knew we were there, and boy, did they come in for prayer, and what an opportunity. When they come in, they get a little picture, let me go back there, they get just a number on their finger or on their hand, and no paperwork. Oh, do I love that. a number, and they can rinse it off. And then, you know, gosh, aren't those designer sandals? What do you think, Annie? I think we could go in business with those, right? There was like a Yaqui Indian. He just made those sandals. I loved it. They get their blood pressure taken, and this is a young girl. She's from Livingston. She's a nurse from Livingston, I believe. Anyway, she's trying so hard because he doesn't speak Spanish. So she's doing her pantomime thing. And there she is with somebody who does speak Spanish, more nurses. You know, another thing is, do you guys remember when we used to dress up really, really good to come to church? And places like the airport, you know, you looked really nice for. Well, they do too. And this is so important to them. They might see us once a year, maybe another doctor two or three times a year, but I just thought she was so gorgeous. This is a gentleman who came to see me, and he has no legs. He's in a wheelchair, and he's a happy guy. Got a sack over his lap. Here's John Patterson. We stole this doctor from Hermosillo, just a little bit north of us. And she wants to come to America and get her license, and then she wants to go to Africa to be a missionary. So that was kind of cool. But she helped us out for a day. This is my translator. This is Alicia from Peru. She's a friend and patient of mine. And, you know, a week before we left, I said, hey, Alicia, you should come to this meeting tonight. Next thing I know, she's on the trip. God had a reason for her to be there. This is one of my favorite ladies. I just loved on her. And speaking of loving on her, so, you know, I was saying that's the whole point. And one of the things that put me at ease, because here I am in Mexico, it's good not to have computers, but on the other hand, I get a lot of my information that way. I can't keep it in this brain. So I was like panicked. Oh my gosh, you know, I got to get this medicine exactly right. And how am I going to remember it all? Well, I'll bring these books. I haven't had books since med school, but I'll bring them anyway. And the very first day, Gabor said, hey, Connie, oh, relax. He said, you know, we might be able to help these people for a few months at the most. But he said, giving them health in this world is not what it's all about. It's about eternal health, health with our Lord and Savior and the relationship that we have to go there. And that was just a huge burden off of me. He said, you know, you need to touch them. You need to love on them. You need to pray with them. He says, you do that all the time anyway. You got this. So that was, by the way, it's really hard work. So it's hot and, you know, you're trying to remember medicine in another language. So we have a little sack lunch that we eat halfway through. But, you know, then Mark, this is one of the founders. He comes around with coffee just to make sure we're all awake. That's helpful. Here's physical therapy, and there's somebody with some crutches, more crutches. Here's the toothbrush, and you can see the eyeglasses there. So I get a bunch of... This is Julie's first time. She was so excited, and she's excited because we really did get toothbrushes. Lots of dentists from the Gallatin Valley, Dr. Van Kirk and others, donated to this. And boy, you know, it's one of the first things to go. We have a set of teeth that we can actually show them how to brush their teeth. Here's one of our volunteers showing three children there how you brush your teeth. And oh, do they love sunglasses. Can you imagine being in that sun, working in a field, and never putting on a pair of sunglasses? They have pterygiums in their eyes and go blind, and it's pretty amazing. So they're happy about that. We also have readers, and we have them read something to see whether or not, you know, what strength they... Oh, here's my 99-year-old. She's sporting a pair of very high-fashion white shades like that. Okay, so this is the evangelist table. This is a guy, I don't know if he was there when you were, Judy, but anyway, he is amazing. I mean, this guy commands a crowd. So he's got Bibles there, Spanish Bibles, which is another thing we need help purchasing. He's got tracts, and, you know, he's talking about the difference between if they were introduced to Christianity, what's it like to have a relationship with Christ? And kind of toss away the idols. We don't really talk about denominations at all, but the difference is that relationship, and that's what he's talking to them about. And there's somebody else, one of our volunteers, opening up a Spanish Bible somewhere in the Old Testament, obviously. And then don't forget the children. Gosh, aren't the children great? This is a Down syndrome gal. They're just so sweet. And kids will be kids. She's an angel. So adorable. Yeah, sporting those shades. There's Mike Miller. He led the group this year. He's a paramedic in the valley. This little guy came running up to me wanting to be held. Of course, after 1 second of that, he wanted down, but grab that picture. Okay, I'm going to tell you a little story about this. This is, once in a while we do home visits, kind of rare, but I had one of my elder ladies say to me, you know, is there any way that you could come see my son? So, well, tell me about your son. He was 31 and a half, and at 29 he had a car accident and he was a paraplegic from that. Hadn't been out of his bedroom in 2.5 years, in bed for 2.5 years. And a young man. So, of course, we asked if he had any bed sores and wounds, and yes, he did. And so we put a team together and went out there. So this is what we saw on the way. This is a typical sort of Yaqui. Well, nothing's typical. They just get whatever they can. So this is inside his room, you know, bright blue walls. They love color down there. I think that's so cool. You can see his father over to the far left. You can't see his mother, but she's got her hands on him. And in the corner there, behind all the idols, is a TV, and there's literally a satanic horror show on, playing. I just had a hard time with that. But anyway, as soon as I figured out, you can just turn your back, Connie. Then we got to work, and we looked at all the sores. You know, if you were a medical crowd, I'd go into more detail. But anyway, they did a really good job, amazing job. Found some powdered ciprofloxacin, antibiotic, and those wounds were so clean. It was really incredible. They were turning them like every 1 to 2 hours, so dedicated. Of course, you know, typical person that age when your whole life has fallen apart, he didn't think his parents were doing enough, so we had to talk about that. But when we got there, Juan Carlos, to my right, he immediately realized that we weren't there for medical care. That's not why God had us go there at all. They didn't need medical care, but they needed prayer. So we spent about 20 minutes, and especially Juan Carlos, I went out with the mom after a while, and he talked to them about the difference between their worship and the relationship. And they accepted Christ into their life right then and there, including the Son. It's just, you know, that's really what it's all about. That's what makes you tear up. And it just was an amazing thing. After the day, the end of the day, some of our days are 12 hours, although that's kind of rare, but concluding transportation on that road, still feeling the jittering. But anyway, we gather in this living room. That's part of the mission. And we tell stories. And we sing. There's a keyboard there. We sing praise songs. We say a prayer. We have a devotion. So that's really a special time. And then we just fall into bed. What's so nice about this mission is when we get there, the locals have just made us a fabulous meal. It's really hard not to gain weight while you're down there. Then on days off, so we can't do this every single day, you know, just like Jesus needed a day of rest, so we'll work 2 or 3 days on and 1 day off. This is a hike that somebody took. That's the Sea of Cortez, and somebody managed to get a boat, group of people to take a boat ride. We saw a dolphin. It was beautiful. Here's the three docks. Myself, John Patterson, and then over to your right is Brecken. We stole her from a San Diego ER. She's a PA, but we just put a doctor sign on her, and she did great. The last night, we have a banquet, and these two girls are from Canada. They're part of a large family that comes down and helps us every year. The girl on your right has a medical disorder. It's called Marfan syndrome, where you're known to have really long limbs and heart problems and other issues. So trying to hook them up with a pediatric endocrinologist. Why? Because they're from Canada, and if you ever want to know a little bit more about socialized medicine and why we don't want that in our country, we can talk all about it. But anyway, they just can't get the help they need there without being penalized. You know, this is how I see myself. This is a rendition. We do our best to keep everything in our brain and help people, but I can't even begin to tell you how many times that birth went well or whatever you're doing. And just things pop in your head. You know you didn't dig that out. That was something that God just put there. And without this vision in my head of helping others, you know, what's the point of medicine? So I would just leave you with this thought. You know, that's sunset over the Sea of Cortez. This is a well-known verse. But a little something else is that when we were out of help for doctors at the very end, there was a tragedy that occurred with one of our docs. I was calling on my lunch hour all these people, and I called this one retired doctor I really, really respect, and I said, gosh, you know, do you think you could make it? I know this is crazy. You got to get on a plane in 2 days. What do you think? He said, you know, it's not that I can't make it, but he said, I don't really believe in that. He said, those people need to vote the right way, and they need to straighten out their government, and, you know, we just need to stay here, and we need to fix our own country. And it really struck me hard because, first of all, I respect this guy so much, but second of all, honestly, I could see his point. You know, he has a good point. But then I started thinking, is it really about political lines and all the politics going on? See if I can find, I think I got it, the Mexican flag. I don't think we're going to see this in heaven, right? I don't know. What do you think? I think when we get there, I'm going to see some of these people that I've helped. Heart-wrenching, heart-warming. The last patient I saw, she came in for physical therapy because she had had a mastectomy, probably going to get the other one off if she gets medical attention in time. And so we checked her range of motion. Everything was good. And I said, by the way, you know, I've got some prosthesis here. So we tried it on, and we had three bras for her. Sorry if that's offending any of you guys. But anyway, so we got just the right setup. She had her 12-year-old daughter with her, and I brought a mirror out for her to look at herself when she was dressed, and she just, tears coming down her eyes and hugging and then backing up and laughing and hugging. My husband's going to love me now. Really? I don't think that has to do with politics. So, you know, I've dismissed what I heard from that doctor, and I really think that we are called. Now, I'm not really called to Africa. Of course, I never thought I was called to Mexico, but it depends on where God puts you. But I just would like to challenge you to think about what we're going to be in heaven, what we're going to look like, and the fact that we're just all human. All those people, that would be you, that would be me. If we were in their situation, we'd be just like them, maybe not even as good as them. So I'm just struck by that, just the humanity of it all. Thank you.
Thank you, Connie. Yeah. Wow, quite an experience and ongoing. Do you hope to go back? Do I hear that is going back next year? And is it an annual thing?
It is an annual thing. We hope it will be.
Sure.
It depends
Tell
on
me more
funding.
About the finances. What happened there in terms of the finances? Do you know?
Yeah. Well, so we had a big chunk, and then we went through it. It takes about $30,000 a year, and it lasted almost 20 years. You know, that's over and above what mm-hmm. we pay as individuals. So, but honestly, I don't think it's going to be too terribly difficult. Mm-hmm. I don't feel desperate about it. Mm-hmm. I just feel like, well, we got another job to do.
Sure.
And we can do it.
So tell me a little about the religious climate in that area. Mm-hmm. You talked about that one family who was really seemed to be off on idol worship, you thought, or even a satanic mm-hmm. situation. Mm-hmm. What about the broader community in that area?
Mm-hmm. You know, it's hard for me to say because I really think that they're putting on their best. They want our love, our care. They want medicine. Mm-hmm. And honestly, being a doctor or anyone in the medical community is just a tool. Mm-hmm. And so because they want that, they're going to put on their best front. They're mm-hmm. always going to say yes and so forth. But we hope we're planting seeds.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. Did you connect with any of the churches that are in that community at all?
We do have people from the churches come help us.
Sure.
And, one in particular in San Carlos is
wonderful.
Very, very supportive.
Yep.
Yeah.
So how many people are you, like, you wrote that their numbers on? How many were coming through in one given day?
Oh, yeah, that's a good point. So we broke all the records, even with three doctors. So we saw 1,700. 1,700 people
over
were exposed to Christ through medicine during our one trip.
And that was like 1,700 over the course of how many days then?
Oh, I would say about seven.
7 days.
Yeah, if you take away our days off.
Sure.
Yes,
yeah.
7 to 10 days. I guess wow. I haven't counted. It's all a blur.
Yeah.
But
so
yeah.
The way those numbering systems work is that they would come in and mm-hmm. they can only come through once. Is that what I understand? Or they can come back multiple times?
Well, they can stay as long as they want. In the case of the woman who asked if we could go to our home. No, she left, and then she came back in, showed us her number, brought her husband.
Wow.
And then we went with them back to their home.
I see.
So, yeah, they could come and go, but most of them stay a real long time, and then they need to go and get nutrition.
Wow. So 1,700 people. And then everyone
amazing.
At the end ends up hearing a gospel presentation. Is that how that works?
That's how
that
it works, yeah.
And do most of the people read? If you give them a Bible, they would be able to read? Do you sense that?
Gosh, we hope so.
Mm-hmm.
You know, again, there's just no guarantees. But, mm-hmm. I mean, I've been taught it takes 17 seeds from the first
sure.
introduction. And so
Absolutely.
We hope to be at least 1 through 5.
Yep. So say the language again. What was
the Yaqui Indians.
Yaqui. And did you have any Bibles in that language?
We don't. In fact, my friend Alicia, she took the time to learn some Yaqui phrases. And when we use those, oh my goodness, you know, they were trying hard to speak Spanish, but boy, did that make them light up. So I think that's one of the challenges for the ministry.
Certainly.
Is to start. And these are people who were, they're the indigenous people. The Spaniards came in and, you know, they bred the Mexican people,
right.
but
mm-hmm.
the Mexican people sort of feel like in some cases that they're better than. So there was a genocide movement at one time, and they tried to wipe out all these folks. And a lot of that happened in Middle America simultaneously, I believe, in the 80s. But anyway, they're just, I don't know, they're just so lovable.
Will you go back to that same community every time?
Sometimes, yeah. So we rely on Brenda, who runs the missionary, or the mission. I guess I'm saying that wrong. Yeah, the mission. To find the need, and she works with all the local churches. She has all the contacts.
Got it.
And so this year we went to one new one, which probably meant we didn't go to one that we saw last year. And so they rotate some, but they might not be that far away. So if we went to Vikram one day, the people from Potom may come there. And
I see.
You know,
yeah.
But it's a trek.
Sure.
Yeah.
Oh, Connie, thank you so much.
Oh,
it was so insightful to see. We know we hear about you going, but this is such a broader picture of what you're doing there. And to know that those people have heard about the gospel and also that their lives have been impacted by faithful followers of Christ, and the medical issues have been at least in a little bit dealt with, right?
Yeah.
Just in a little bit.
Thank you for your support.
Oh, absolutely. Thank you, Connie. Thank you. So as to not shock Leanne, we're going to have a prayer and then we'll sing the song Freely, Freely. Let's just pray. Pray for Connie. We're going to pray for the ministry and just bringing this to the Lord. Gracious God, as we come to you tonight, it's easy for us to take for granted the gifts of knowing the gospel, the gifts of having wonderful health care, and being able to access that with just a simple drive to a doctor. And we are humbled by that reality as we again look at the pictures tonight. But yet, O Lord, you, as we've started off our service, you are a God over it all. And we are so thankful for these dear people there. We pray that, as Connie said, those seeds planted would yield abundant fruit, that you would bless all those who have participated in that ministry, but most importantly, that those who have heard the word would want to know more, and that they could see that the gospel not only is something that changes spiritual hearts, but is really to challenge also the whole being. And we pray, Lord, that you would continue to allow those churches in that community to spread the good news of Jesus Christ. We pray, Lord, for some of those people that we saw in those pictures. And we pray, Lord, for someone who is dealing every day with the reality of not being able to walk after a terrible tragedy. And we pray, Lord, for him and his family. Thank you for this wonderful news that they have acknowledged and have come to know Christ. It is our prayer that that faith would deepen and you would use them as a vital part of proclaiming the good news in that broader community. We thank you for the work of Connie and those who went along with her. We pray, Lord, for the Rocky Mountain Ministries. Continue to give it what it needs, as even as it looks into the financial questions. And we pray, Lord, that you would give them what they need as they continue this process of being prepared for the next trips. And we pray that most importantly, that your spirit would work in all of those who go on these trips. Lord, thanks for hearing our prayer, and thanks for the work of this ministry. In Jesus Christ we pray. Amen.